scripture is going to come today from Matthew chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 12. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12, looking at verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. One simple verse, powerful verse, but incredibly hard to live out. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. We're going to bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I pray that you would restore our passion. God, I pray that you'd restore the passion in the church for you, Lord. God, I pray that you would take our lives and restore our individual passion for you, Lord. God, there's so many things in the world that take us away from you, God. And today, I just want us to focus on you, God. Just whatever those other things are, those bills, those sicknesses, those problems, taxes, whatever they may be, God, just take them away from our mind, out of our heart, and let us worship you, Lord. God, that's what we're here for today, Lord. We love you and we thank you. God, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, today you'd say, that child is mine. God, I pray that they would hear the call and they would come humbly, broken before you, God, and you would restore them gently with all mercy and grace that you have. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. For it's in your holy and precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says something this simple. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Simple command, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do you know that same scripture appears four times in the Bible? Do you know that same scripture appears four times in the Bible? Now, you could have been reading it from Mark chapter 12, verse 30, like we were today. You could have looked at Luke chapter 10, verse 27. You'd see it there. You could have looked at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. You'd see it there. But you say, well, Pastor, those are all New Testament passages. Well, hey, if you're a person who likes the Old Testament, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and you'll find it there too. Now, if the Lord includes these same words in four different passages of Scripture, do you think it might be important? Huh? Do you think that might be important? Absolutely, right? Absolutely. So last week we talked about passion. We talked about how it's importantly to passionately live for the Lord. We talked about that if you don't have passion in your life, then it's hard to get up and do things. It's hard to get up out of bed in the morning. It's hard to do anything if you don't have passion in life. So last week we talked about what we needed to do to have passion. We talked about some things that steal our passion from us. And so as I was praying about what to preach this week, I was like, God, just show me what you want. And he gave me a couple other things that you might be going through today that are trying to steal your passion. And folks, I hope that by the time you leave here, you're full of passion for the Lord. You're full of passion for life. And that you have a new purpose and a plan for living. Something that excites you. So last week, as we were talking about, we looked at Colossians 3:23, and it said, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Do it with all your heart. You know, if you're passionate about a hobby, if you're passionate about a sport, you do that with all your heart. Anybody ever play a game before? It could be a video game or a board game. People play those, right? Yep. Do you play to lose on purpose? No. If you play, you want to win, right? And sometimes you get a little passionate. You think older people are generally kind and gentle people, don't you? Don't you? Do people think that? Well, you haven't seen kind and gentle old people until you went to a nursing home and they're playing dominoes. Those old people become monsters. I'm telling you, they slam their hand down on that card table. I can play them 10. You know, and you watch these people and the dominoes fly all over and they laugh. And they hold their bellies. Man, it's great. They are passionate about winning at some dominoes. And we have to have passion about our life for the Lord too. I'm telling you, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, love the Lord your God with how much of your heart?
All your heart.
All your heart, right? It doesn't say that we're only supposed to love him just with a little bit of our heart. No, it says love him with all your heart. What does it say about strength? It says love him with all of our what?
Strength,
all of our soul. All of our mind, that's a lot of love. It's a lot of love. That's more love than they could sell at Valentine's Day and Walgreens, Walmart, and Target all put together. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have for our Lord Jesus Christ. And while many of us want to do this, There are some things in our life that just get in the way sometimes of us doing that. I think if you're a Christian person, you want to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But there are some things that just get in the way, right? And so last week we talked about a couple of those. We talked about an unbalanced life. We talked about if you have an unbalanced life, you're working too much, then you just get sick of everything. You get sick of people, you get sick of doing your job, you get sick of everything. If you're working too little in your life, then you're bored. And so you lose passion. We talked about if you have an unused talent, if God has blessed you with a talent and you're not using it for Him, that can cause you to lose passion. We talked about if you're in a job that you're not happy with, you live in the United States of America, go find another job that you can use the gifts and the talents that God has blessed you with. Because He loves you. He didn't give you those gifts and those talents to waste on doing nothing. He gave you those gifts and talents to use for His glory. Then we talked about this other thing that kind of steals passion from us. Unconfessed sin. That's where the steel-toe boot part of the sermon came out last week. Is that if you've got unconfessed sin in your life, it's hard. I'd say it's impossible to live with passion and guilt at the same time. You just can't do that. Passion is up here. Guilt is down here. You can't have both those in your life at the same time. So we talked about how we can get rid of that. That's one of the easiest things to get rid of, by asking God for forgiveness, by repenting of your sin, and God will forgive your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's kind of what we had talked about last week. Now, passion is an interesting thing. I hope that if you're still struggling, you said, well, Pastor, I listened to the message last week, but I still just can't get on fire for the Lord. There's just something that is still causing me not to be that man or woman that I used to be on fire for the Lord. Well, I hope that out of the message today, God reveals to you exactly what will bring you back to that fire. I'll tell you, kids are passionate. You don't have to ask them to be passionate. They're passionate about everything that they do. Let me show you this. You want to see a passionate kid? Look at this. That's a passionate kid. Sure, maybe the guy found some flour and he was having a little fun at home, but he's passionate. Well, look at this next one. That's a passionate girl. You see that pillow? It was nicely put together, but after she got a hold of it, look at it now. She's exerting passion. Let's go to the next one. This is a future artist. I mean, look at all this beautiful paintwork that they've done. Not only to themselves, but the crib and the wall. All those that you have babies, you might look forward to some of this great artwork in the future. Go ahead, Josh. He's like, amen. All right. This little guy, he was passionate about getting himself some cereal. Look at what happened. Poor kid. But he looks happy still. How about the next one? Food makes you passionate, doesn't it? Do you feel like that after a good meal? Well, this boy does too. But you know, all these parts of passion, they're exciting. There are some things in life that rob you of your passion, that steal your passion away from you. We're going to talk about a couple of those. These kids, they've probably all seen this. Now that'll steal your passion from you, won't it? That'll take your passion right from when mom or dad is getting after you like that. So today I want to talk about some things that'll steal your passion so you can get rid of those things, you can deal with those things, and you can be passionate and happy living for God again. The first thing I want to share with you today is that steals some passion is unresolved conflict. If you have some conflict in your life that it's not resolved, oh man, it's hard to live like that. Conflict just drains the passion right from you. It just sucks the power source right away from you. You ever start a day and you just know, like, this is going to be a good day. Sun's outside. You wake up and you actually feel energized. You feel good. You have breakfast. You go take a shower. You brush your teeth. You're like, today is going to be a good day. And then as you're getting your stuff and you're getting ready to leave the door, you get into an argument with your mom or your dad, your husband or your wife, your brother or your sister. And then that argument, that conflict, it just takes all the zip out of your doodah. It just takes all the excitement and your emotion, and it throws it away. I mean, it makes your attitude as flat as a pancake at IHOP. That's what these things do when this conflict that you haven't resolved comes into your life. So let's be honest about this. I mean, we're in church today. We're worshiping God. We're trying to live for Jesus. I mean, how many people do we have here in church that are dealing with an unresolved conflict right now? How many of you have a conflict in your life, and it's just not resolved? And it's one of those things that you could try to be happy, you can try to do these things, but in the back of your mind, it's just like, it's just back there like a hamster nibbling on a empty toilet roll. I mean, it's just back there. And those are hard things to deal with. Some of us, we're dealing with an unresolved conflict that may be part of our fault. Others of us might be dealing with an unresolved conflict that isn't our fault. We're trying to do everything that we can do, but this person is just crazy. They're just causing all these problems, and we're just trying to deal with that. How do you deal with an unresolved conflict where you're not the problem and they're the problem? Well, how do you keep your passion in a situation like that? Well, I'll tell you this. You can't control the other person. I've already tried that, and it doesn't work. Can't control the other person. But you can control the emotions you have. And that's kind of a hard thing for some of us, too. Does anybody wear their emotions on their sleeve? Yeah, I hear a good song, movie, I cry, all that stuff. I get excited, and I shout and yell. You know, you can tell how I'm feeling based on how I'm acting for the most part. And some people are like that too. They could say the nicest things to you, but they're looking into your soul like they're going to get you after you turn your back. So there's some things that we have with these unresolved conflicts, these emotions that we have, that if we could deal with these emotions, we could probably help handle this conflict. The emotions I'm talking about are resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. Those are hard things that we deal with in unresolved conflicts. Job chapter 5 verse 2 says, "Resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple." You see, you got to make a decision when it comes to resentment and jealousy. And you have to do just like that Frozen song in Disney. You just got to let that thing go. You just got to let it go. I can't sing the song, or I would for you. But you just got to let those things go. You can't harp on those things. You can't constantly focus on those things, because they're going to destroy you. You got to learn to let them go. You got to say, "I'm not going to hold on to this any longer." You say, "Well, gee, Pastor, that's real helpful. I already knew that." Well, then why aren't you doing it? That's my question to you. You see, God knew. He said, "Carol, you're a good woman, but you can't hold on to resentment. So you know what I'm going to do for you, Carol? I'm going to give you a way to get rid of resentment." Carol's like, okay, now she's paying attention. She's like, "Really, Pastor? Tell me the secret." You see, God knew we couldn't handle this. And so that's why forgiveness is so important. The God who created us, He knows us. He knows we can't carry resentment. He knows we need to let it go. And the only way you can let it go is through forgiveness. I mean, if we think about it, when we hold on to these feelings of resentment or anger, what are we really doing? Are we really hurting the other person? No, we're not hurting the other person. The other person might not even know you have a problem with them. We're hurting us. That anger, that resentment's hurting us. But it's not just hurting us, it's hurting our relationship with God. It's hurting our relationship with our loved ones. If you want passion to be restored in your heart, you really got to learn to forgive and let it go. But maybe some of you are thinking like, "Pastor, that's good for you. You're a man of God. You're supposed to do all that Jesus stuff. But me, I'm still a work in progress. And so there's some things I'm just not good about." Well, stop trying to justify it, because it's not me you're answering to. It's God. And justification, it doesn't work so good with Him. Mercy and forgiveness, repentance, those all work great. But justifying your sin with God doesn't work so well. So you say, "Well, I'm telling you to let them off the hook." And you're saying, "Well, Pastor, how can I let this person off the hook?" Well, what I'm trying to say is, take them off your hook and put them in God's hands. Say, "God, I'm in a conflict right now. It's unresolved. It's a problem. I've tried everything I humanly know how to do. I'm still angry. I still have resentment in my heart. I still have jealousy. I still have these problems. But Lord, I want to be free." So you say, "God, please forgive me for the way I feel. Take these feelings from my heart. And Lord, I place this person or these people or this situation in your hand. God, you say you love us all. Take care of this person, because I can't anymore. Set me free." God will forgive you for that. But that's intentional forgiveness. That's the kind of forgiveness that you have to make regardless of what side of that conflict you are on. That's how you resolve that conflict in your heart. The next thing that tries to kind of steal our joy from us is the Lone Ranger attitude. The Lone Ranger attitude. "You know what? I do everything so great on my own. I don't need anybody's help. Well, I'd love to have you to come to church, mister. Would you like to come to church? Would you like to..." No, I don't need that. I can read the Bible at home." But do you? Well, I mean, I was going to last Saturday, but I had to mow the grass. Oh, it takes you 24 hours to mow the grass? Dude, you need to get a new lawnmower. But this Lone Ranger attitude, this attitude that I don't need anybody else's help, I can do it all on my own, I'm good enough. That Lone Ranger attitude gets us into all kinds of trouble, and it steals our joy. Do you know why? Because God created us to be in relationships. He created you to have friends. He created you to have a relationship with your Lord and Savior. If you think you can do everything on your own, you are barking up the wrong tree. What you're going to have is a lonely, depressed, miserable life. Is that what you want? You might be losing passion for God because you're trying to do everything on your own. Not spending time with other Christians, not getting any fellowship time. Folks, we're designed to be people that work together. That's why that practical verse that Ariel read from Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 is so great. It says, two are better than one, because if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But I pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. If we're going to be honest with each other today, every single one of us needs somebody. We all fall down. None of us can stand on our own two feet by ourselves. We stumble at times. We all go through crises that we face. So we need people to help us in our life. We need people to lean on. Church, we're all on the same team. We're all trying to live for the Lord. So that's why it's so important to make Christian friends. To have people that you're hanging out with that are good influences, that are encouraging, that are helpful. We have all kinds of fellowships at church. Anytime you're at a Bible study, we talk for an hour before and 2 hours after. That's just how it works. If you come to Sunday night service, we'll have a great service tonight studying the Bible, learning about how Abram had his name changed to Abraham. And then we'll probably go out to Brahms or Dairy Queen or Freddy's. We'll eat some ice cream and we'll talk for another hour or two. If you come to church on Wednesday night, you'll eat some food with us at 6 o'clock at our potluck dinner. You'll have a great time. You'll have a nice Bible study, depending on how much we talk. Could end at 7:30, 8, 8:30, who knows? Then people hang around for another hour talking. And then what'll happen is we'll go bowling. But we won't even focus on bowling because we know what we're doing there? Talking. We love to have fellowship at our church. But if you're one of those people that I'm a Lone Ranger, I can handle this on my own, I don't need anybody's help, that could be a reason that you're losing your passion. Let me tell you, I've been a pastor for a while now. Been a youth pastor for 12, 13, 14 years, I don't know. Senior pastor for almost 8. And I've seen some things. I've seen some common things. I've seen some people that stay and they keep their passion for God. And I've seen some people that lose their passion for God. And the people that lose their passion for God, it always happens the same way. And maybe I'm talking to you today. It always happens the same way. Here's how the pattern begins. The first thing is the person stops coming to church. Now, I'm not talking about church as a physical building, as a ritual. I'm talking you stop going to church. You stop reading your Bible. You stop spending time with God in prayer. You stop hanging around those Christian friends of yours. And so that's how it all kind of starts. Then you start making up excuses. Well, I would have read the Bible today, but I was busy taking care of this. I would have prayed to God today, but He understands. He knows. He has mercy on me. I was tired. I would have went to church today, but it was a beautiful day, and there was a great basketball game on I had to watch. So God will forgive me. I'll come back later. Or maybe it's even a sensible excuse. You know, my nose is running. I didn't get much sleep last night. God will forgive me to just sleep this one time. And then that one time turns into two. And then it turns into three. And then before you know it, your heart starts to turn a little cold. You start asking yourself, you go back to seeking God and you ask yourself, why do I feel so far away from you, God? Why do I feel like, God, you're so far away from me? Well, it's because what you need is people to hang around with that love you and are going to encourage you and help you. You see, coming to church doesn't save you. You can come to church. I love having you at church. I love preaching to you. I love sharing the message that God lays on my heart. I love you hearing everybody else's testimonies, singing glory to God in the highest. I love all those things. But all those things don't save you. What saves you is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're not working on that every day, if you're not spending time with Him every day, your heart's going to start to grow cold too. You're going to start feeling distant from God. And then pretty soon you're going to look up and say, how did I get here? We met a youth pastor at the men's retreat. He was a youth pastor for 6 years. He got away from the Lord. You say he's a youth pastor. He's studying everything. You know, he was tired and he decided he was going to take a break. He took a break. He took a break where he went down a path of drugs, alcohol, sex outside of marriage, all kinds of problems. That break was only going to be for a year. But it lasted 2 years. And then 3 years. And then luckily, Josh Bush ran into him one day at a grocery store or something. And he said, hey, how you been? I haven't seen you for a while. And he started to just cry and shared everything that had gone on. Now the man has given his life back to God. He's back on the right track. But he had to go through some hard years where he's probably made some decisions where people will God will forgive him, but people may not. God doesn't want you to live this hard life. The Bible says he came to give you life and life more abundantly. Ask yourself the question, am I living a life more abundantly today? Am I living a life that gives glory to God? Am I happy to even get up in the morning? If not, there's some passion. There's something that's stolen from your heart. Folks, I'll admit it. I'm weak. I'm not perfect. I'm flawed. I'm just a man. But the passion I have for Jesus Christ led me to leave all my friends in Austin, Texas. Led me to leave my offices in Austin, Texas. Led me to bring my family and my kids away from their friends in Austin, Texas. Led me to have my wife quit her job and come up here from Austin, Texas. Because the passion and the love and the Lord I have for Jesus Christ, God called me here. And that's why we're here. I get up every day and I want to see what God has going on. Some days are more exciting than others. Some days are better than others. But it's the passion in my life that makes me excited. Folks, I have the question for you is, do you know what your plan or purpose is in life? Jeremiah 29:11 is a simple verse. It says, for I know I have the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, you see, if you don't know what God's plan is for your life, you might be sitting here today without a hope and without a future, without something to look forward to. If you don't know what God's plan is in your life, it's hard to get up in the morning. It's hard to put forth the effort to go to work in the afternoon. It's hard to get out of bed. Life without purpose is kind of trivial. But when you have a purpose, you want to get out of bed in the morning. You want to go to work or you want to go wherever you're going in the morning because you have a purpose. You have something that you have to accomplish. Folks, God has a specific purpose for every single one of us. That's why you all have different gifts. If you all had the same gifts, you'd have the same purpose. Now, don't get me wrong. There is one purpose that we have the same. That's to glorify and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you have an individual purpose in your life too. Look at your gifts. Look at your talents. Are you using what God gave you to do what God wants you to do? God has blessed Angela with a heart for kids. Maybe it's because she is a kid. I don't know. Bless you, Brother George. But he's given her a heart for kids. She's explored, went different areas. She's worked all kinds of random different jobs. But they brought her down to this, to teaching children. She's going to use her gift to glorify God. Brother Daryl, his purpose is to minister. God has given Daryl a heart for people that have gone through hard times. God has given Daryl a heart for a great understanding of Scripture and a heart for people. God called him to minister. That's his job. Brother Ron, his purpose is to witness. God's given him a heart for those that are lost and they don't even know they're lost. They don't even know they need the hope of Jesus Christ. But if they walk through a door or a threshold that Brother Ron's in, they will know by the time they leave. Sister Becky, Kylie, Deborah, Alva, George, Bill, you guys, God has blessed all you guys with a gift of serving. You love to help. You love to work. You love to get down on your knees and do whatever it needs to do to be done. Whether that's wash a dish, change oil somewhere, whatever you have to do, you're willing to do that to serve your Lord and Savior. Carol and Joyce and Victoria, God has given you the blessing and the burden on your heart to pray for people. to look and put yourself in somebody else's shoes of what they're going for, what they're going through, and saying, God, please help them. I could go on and on through every single person in the congregation today and share what I see your gifts and talents are. But you know what? If I tell you all your gifts and talents that I see, it's not going to help you live for God any. You have to get down on your knees, just like I did one day, before God and say, Lord, show me what I'm good at. Show me what your purpose is for my life. Show me what you want me to do in my life. And I'll tell you, God's purposes in our lives change. For Tamara, her biggest purpose right now may be to raise 3 great kids. And she's doing a good job, amen? Maybe that's what God's purpose is for in her life. I don't know. All I know is that the only way you're going to find out is by getting down before the Lord and asking Him. It took me 8 months of reading and praying and studying Scripture and reading all kinds of books to figure out what God's purpose was for my life. You know why it took me so long? Part of the reason? Because I'm an idiot. Because I was trying to figure it out on my own. I was doing everything logically. I'm a logical person. I'm real good at math and science. And so I thought, logically, we have pros and cons. Here's everything Alan's good at. Here's everything he's terrible at. So that means I could do these 15 jobs because this is what I'm good at. Well, I tried doing just about every one of those jobs, and I wasn't happy. So then finally I got down right by my bedside in my house, and I had tears coming from my eyes, and I said, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I've read every book by every man and woman and anything that believes they know how to find the purpose that you have for my life, and I have no clue. I've taken your scripture, I've ripped it apart in Greek and every other language I can study it in. I've looked up Strong's Concordance, study every different version of the Bible I have in my house, and I still have no clue. What do you want me to do? And I prayed just about that loud and that angry, that passionate. I said, God, it's all you. I will do whatever you want me to do. And I think that might have been the second time in my life I've ever given everything I am to God. Whatever you tell me, God, I'm going to do it. And I heard very clearly, I want you to share my words with my people. And I knew from that day on I was supposed to be a pastor. I went out to my wife and I gave her a hug. And I told her, honey, our life is going to change. And then she shared, you know part of the story. She shared and said, well, I knew that was your calling a long time ago. And then my tears were a bit angry. We had some unresolved conflict. I said, what do you mean? Why didn't you tell me about this? We're supposed to be husband and wife. You're supposed to help me. She said, if I would have told you, you never would have believed me. And you would have did it because you thought I was telling you. You needed to hear it from God. And when I prayed, that's what God told me. Well, the conflict was resolved. How can you be mad at a woman like that? So, what I'm telling you today is there's all kinds of things in the world that's going to try to steal your passion. You got to purposely live for Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen on accident. And when it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, it's not kidding. It's in the Bible 4 different times, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. What it means is for you to present yourself completely, not holding anything else back from God, and saying, God, do what you want with me. When you get to that point in your life will change. I can't promise it'll be easy. And the road to getting there is different for every single one of us. But the end result is the same. It's us presenting ourselves to God as a sacrifice, saying, God, I'm your child. You died on the cross for my sins. You've given me mercy and grace, and you've put a place in heaven for me. God, let me give everything that I am to you. When you find that passion in your life, you won't worry about money. You won't worry about fame. You won't worry about what anybody else thinks about you. The only thing you'll care about is living that passion for the glory of Jesus Christ. I found the passion in my life. The question is, have you found yours? Now, the reason I know this sermon is for somebody here today is because never in all the years of my preaching has God given me a sermon about the same thing 2 weeks in a row. Maybe God wants you to hear this today. What's stealing your passion? Is it an unbalanced life? You're working too much, you're working too little? Do you have a talent you're not using for God? I'm trying to throw you some bones here, give you some ideas to think about, give you some things to pray about. Is it that you have unconfessed sin in your life? Got some sin that you're just dealing with? You're not going to give it all to God yet. Maybe it's something that there's some conflict you can't resolve in your life. You're not giving it up. You're holding it on to it like you have something over somebody else. Guys, we don't even know if we're promised to live tomorrow. Why do we care about those dumb things? Maybe the thing that's stealing your passion is that you're just trying to do everything yourself. You never really thought about it before. It's not what you mean to do. Are you the kind of person that says, hey, I'll be happy to help you? And you go over there, and then before you know it, you're pushing them out of the way and you're doing the job because you can do it better than everybody else? Maybe that's what's stealing your passion. Maybe what's taking your passion is you used to have a reason to get up in the morning. You used to have a reason to do whatever it is that you do. Whether that's teach children, whether that's be a nurse in a hospital, whether that's feed homeless people at Abundant Harvest. There used to be something you got up and you did because you were passionate. But now you don't have that passion and you don't even know what God's purpose is in your life. Maybe that's what's stealing your passion. I don't know what it is. It's different for every one of us. But I do know God wants us to hear this message today. And I do know that no matter what you're dealing with, I can promise you one thing. God is passionate about you. I can tell you in Scripture, and I can tell you from the history of Him giving me two sermons about the same thing 1 week. Scripture says this. Exodus 31:14 says, "You must worship the Lord, for He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you." Did you know that? God is passionate about His relationship with you. He's not going, oh yeah, another one of my creations. Next. That's not what He's doing. He's passionate about you. He made you so that you can love Him and so that He can love you. You weren't created as an object. You're not a deer. You're not a dog. You're not a tree. You have a mind and a heart. You're the only thing He created that's in the likeness of Him. He is passionate about you. And He even proved it to you. The proof is the cross. When Jesus stretched out His hands on that cross, they nailed Him to the cross. You know what He was saying? He's saying, I would rather die than to live without you forever. He's saying He'd rather die than live without you forever. That's how much He loves you. That's how passionate He is about you. He said, I made you, I love you, and I want you to be together with me forever in heaven. I hope you heard the message today. And I hope you wrote it on your heart. And I hope it changes your life the same way it changed mine. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank You, God, for talking to us about our passion. You tell us, Lord, we're supposed to love You with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And God, if we're to be honest about that while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, we know whether we're doing that or not. We know whether we're loving You like that. Lord, maybe there's something that just stole our passion. We used to love You like that. We used to want to worship You like that. We used to want to serve You and Your people. And we used to be kind and happy and fun-loving. But now we're just broken. Maybe there's something that stole our passion or stole our joy in our life. God, I pray today that You would help us to restore our passion for You. God, that You would help us to put You first in our lives again. Lord, that You would teach us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. Now, Lord, You know we're going to get up tomorrow morning. We're going to have distractions. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have to face conflicts. And we're going to have changes and challenges, problems and pressures, Lord. We're going to have frustrations and fears. But God, You're the God of everything. You're the God of the heaven and the earth. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us not to be discouraged. You won't let the devil steal our passion, Lord. That you will strengthen us. That you will teach us. That you'll help us to remember to turn to you for every need. Lord, help us to fix our schedules, to use our gifts for you, to get rid of any unconfessed sin, to resolve these conflicts in our life, to live in a way that glorifies you, Lord, and to live for the purpose you've created for us for, Lord. God, we just pray for all these things in the precious name of Jesus. We're going to sing a verse of invitation today, and if God has spoke to your heart and you want to come up and pray, please do. This is your time alone with God. Let him do the great works that he wants to do in your life. We're going to sing hymn 268, There's Room at the Cross.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free, it's sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross.